for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday afternoon service of July the 8th, 1988, tape number 18 of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the teacher for the afternoon.
Well, we've been singing and worshiping the Lord and praising Him and asking and believing and applying the blood this afternoon. And as Sister Mazander said, we need to remember to eat the Lamb. So now for a while, we're going to eat the Lamb. We're going to study curses this afternoon, just some of them. Just a few of them. There are 70-some curses that I'm aware of that are listed in this book that we can get ourselves under and that we are under because of the errors and sins of our forefathers and because of our own sins. So this afternoon, we're going to look at curses, some of them, and see where they came from and see how we get them on our lives, and then we'll find out how God made provision to help us come out from underneath of them. There, basically, in my understanding, are three types of curses. In my study of the Scriptures, I find that almost everything in the Scriptures is laid out in threes. Triune, revelation of the Lord, and almost every Scripture will have at least a minimum of three interpretations or three applications in the Scriptures. And so I believe that curses come basically in three categories also. Curses can come from what you say or from what someone else says against you or about you. Curses can come from what you say about yourself or about somebody else, or what somebody else says about you. So the Scripture tells us that we are trapped by our own words. So we need to be careful of our words, because our words can cause us problems down through our lifetime because of words. And so if we have said anything or done anything that would be detrimental to somebody, we need to ask the Lord to forgive us. And many times it's necessary to ask them to forgive you as well, so that that can be lifted. Then there is the type of curses that come from witchcraft and sorcery and divination and voodoo and this type of satanic powers. The curses that come because somebody performs and does witchcraft against you, or against your family, or against your business, or against your possessions. And so witchcraft can come in that way. One time we had a camper who came in here to camp, just paid to camp, and after they were here a little while, we found out that he was dealing in marijuana, and we also found out that he was a warlock. Found out he was a warlock. We found that out because they had a build a fire down here one night beside their trailer, and they were doing things around the fire. And I asked Dennis, our grandson, who had gotten acquainted with him, what was going on, and he told me they were doing witchcraft. Well, I tell you, I got them out of here in about fast as they could get hooked up to their rig and get gone. And I found out later, then a little week or two later, it came back to us that they had gotten all the covens in the area together to pray that this place would catch on fire and burn. Well, and the Lord showed us, so we took authority and stood against it, and of course the place is still here. So we talk mainly from experience, and all the things that we teach and talk, they're from experience, not from somebody else's hearsay. I thank the Lord that we have come down the road of experience so that when we stand up here, Irma or I stand up here and teach, we don't stand up here and teach from something that we heard somebody else say or something that we read someplace. We teach by the revelation that God has given us in the areas that we teach in. And I don't try to teach something that God showed somebody else. That's for them to teach. The Lord, Irma and I do well to teach that which the Lord has showed to us. So this afternoon I'm teaching what the Lord has showed to us by experience and by revelation of His Word. The third area of curses that we are under are curses that the Scripture says, that God says that we come under if we disobey His Word. In other words, God says that He allows them to come on us if we just do certain things and disobey His Word. And when that happens, that gives Satan a right to your life in those areas of your life. And it also gives a right to your descendants as far as the 10th generation. And then it also gives a right to Satan in your life and in your descendants if someplace along that route somebody repeats that. Then it goes again for that period of time. And Satan is determined to cause somebody in your family to repeat that sin so that he can keep that hold over the family. And a lot of people have problems in their lives and they say, my granddad was like that, or my grandmother had that, or this. That is I expect it, or I've got it. Well, that's a familiar spirit of a curse that is following down the family line because it has a legal right to that family. People say, I don't believe that. Well, then turn with me to Revelations chapter 22. And we will look at and see what the Word of the Lord says. So we're going to examine these things today and see why they're there. And then we're going to see understand how we can be free from them. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed. What? Blessed? You want to be blessed? Blessed are you if you do His or my commandments. You're blessed if you do the commandments of the Lord. And that's at the end of the book. That's not over in the beginning. That's at the end of the book. So we better find out what the commandments of the Lord are. That's back before this, so we'll be blessed. Verse 18 says, For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things and the things which are written in this book. So God says that He'll add unto those who take away from this word, He'll add the plagues that are in this book unto them. So we need to, and God says that those plagues are curses. And the plagues are plagues that He says that will come upon us if we disobey Him. So we're going to look at a few of those areas today and see what they are. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 12, and we will look there at Deuteronomy chapter 12. Those of you who have a Thompson Chain Bible, I can help you out. It's page 196. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28 says, Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee forever. That's to 1,000 generations. When thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Verse 32 says, What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. And that has not changed, because I just read in the last book, next to the last two verses, I just read that the Lord says if we change anything, add to it, or diminish from it, He'll put all the plagues of this book on us, and He'll also take our name out of the book of life. So He gave it to us back here in Deuteronomy, and he gave it to us again in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. And so now we're going to look at some places in between and see what these things are. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. Verse 58 I want to read. Through 61. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. We should have reverence and awe for the name of the Lord our God, for Jesus, for the name of Jesus. It should not just be glibly used. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, or many and great. He'll make the plagues many and great, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues. And why is he going to do it? If we don't fear his name, if we don't fear the name of the Lord our God, he's going to make the plagues great upon us. And the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long countenance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring up on thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. Well, that takes in all the diseases and sicknesses that there's no names for. AIDS and whatever else that's coming down the tubes. All that is not written in the book of this law. Them will the Lord bring upon thee, what? Until you're destroyed. So when the Lord brings it on you, unless you come before the Lord, you can't get rid of it. Unless you confess and get free, because the Lord says that until you're destroyed, that it'll be on you. So we need to come and confess our sins and our faults and the sins of our fathers and apply the blood to cleanse us so that we can come out from underneath these plagues and be free. We're a group of people, a needy people, and we need the Lord. And we need his blood to cleanse and to wash. And we need the washing of the word. We need the understanding of the word so that we can apply it to our lives so that we can be free from these plagues. We're all under some of these plagues. And I want to be free from them. I don't want the plagues. I want to be free from it. I want to be free from the kidney trouble and the bladder trouble. I want to be free from it. I want to be free from the side of my head bothering me. And my left eye is not as good as my other one. Of course, that happened in an accident, but the Lord forgive me for getting hurt in the accident and help and restore it. Okay. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Verse 26. And the Lord says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments. What's the voice of the Lord? I'm the voice of the Lord right now because I'm reading his word. His word is the voice of the Lord. And so right now, as I read this, I'm the voice of the Lord to you. And you're the voice of the Lord as you read it back to yourself. The word is the voice of the Lord. And he'll do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. So the healing is if we keep the word of the Lord. Now, we're going to begin here in a few minutes to look at some of the things. We'll get to them. But let's go over to Exodus chapter 19. Just turn over here about three pages. And in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, it says, now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people thereupon, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So if we obey the word of the Lord, we hide it in our heart that we sin not against the Lord, and we follow his word and make it life to us, and do that, then the Lord says that we'll be a kingdom of priests unto him. Boys, what scripture did I just read? You know, Alan? No, you don't know. You don't know either, Randy. That picture you've drawn on there is more important than the scripture I read. Now let's take those tablets and lay them under your seats, and I don't want to see them again until you go home Sunday unless you use them to write the scriptures down. You see, when we draw things like this in church, you see, the devil sits right in the seat with you. We don't come here for that. We come here to hide the word of the Lord in our hearts, all of you, adults as well. And this afternoon, you're going to hear the word of the Lord. So you better listen to what the scriptures are so you can tell me if I ask you again. Because this is serious. And your life depends on it. And my life depends on it. It's life and death. The Lord says that if we obey His word and listen to it, that we shall be a kingdom of priests in the earth. And that's my desire. I want to be part of that kingdom. I want to be part of that which God has for His people. My desire is to get a hold of that and to hide it in my heart. And make it a living reality within me. And if I can make it a living reality within me, I can help some of you to do the same. And show you how we have erred so in our ways that Satan can run rampant through us without any hindrance. Okay, turn with me over to Exodus chapter 20. But this kingdom of priests is given unto those who follow after Him. We're already in 20 is already on the same page. I want to read the first six verses of Exodus chapter 20. It says, "And God spake all these words." Now, God spake them. Some people say Moses did it. Well, Moses did it because he was commanded to do it. He just followed orders. And it's not Moses' law, it's God's law. God spake all these words. And He said, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of sin and out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth." We're not to have any other gods. And America has so many gods that you couldn't name them hardly with a dictionary. And pleasure is the biggest, tops the list. Pleasure. Pleasure. And under pleasure, there's so many that added down there that you can't hardly count them. And God, and America has given itself over to the God of pleasure. To the God of pleasure. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." It's the God of self-will, what I want to do. Me, mine. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them." Now, you can bow yourself down to a lot of things without actually getting down on your knees. You just let it control you. And that becomes a God that you've bowed to. "I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that do not obey my word." So God says He's going to do it. He's going to visit it. But bless God for verse 6. Praise your Lord. "Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Hallelujah. Oh, that's Old Testament. I don't have to pay attention to that. No, it's one book. I don't buy that. And if you want to be particular about it, Cavan has found that there's 1,056 commandments in what's known as the New Testament. And if you can keep 1,056 of them, you're doing pretty good. But there's 1,056 commandments in various forms that's in the books of the New Testament. So that's that you can't get by with that argument. That won't stand up. Verse 12 is a verse that's actually to all of us, but it's basically really to younger people, but it can be applied to older people as well who haven't done likewise and may need to ask forgiveness and ask the Lord. Even though your parents are gone, you need to pray and ask God to forgive you. And ask forgiveness of your parents even though they're not present or even though they're dead. I've seen that where it had to be done in order for a person to be free of certain problem or condition in their life. They've had to ask the Lord for forgiveness and speak the name of their parents that they have dishonored. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And Mary Dye is a perfect example of someone who has honored her parents. She honored her parents. And she's 85 her next birthday, and she's going strong. She's doing well. They're on their way to Oregon, I believe, right now. They'll be gone for about 6 weeks. They've taken off in their camper this morning early and headed for Oregon. Lord, take care of them and watch over them. Well, I know you will. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 34. Now we'll look at, pick this same thought up again. We'll find, we are told that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is to be established. So we're establishing it here. Verse 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, Moses, there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him, before Moses, and proclaimed the Lord God. He's merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, mercy and grace, and transgression and sin, the blood of Jesus, and that will by no means clear the guilty. So if the sin's been sinned, it has to be brought and it has to be cleansed. Upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. So we have established that we are cursed by God when we disobey His word to the third and the fourth generation. Deuteronomy chapter 5, start with verse 6, says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me or do not obey my word, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1 says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. And today, I stand as part of that Israel, and I'm required to do it. And so are you. Deuteronomy chapter 23. We'll look at another curse that has a greater penalty. Verse 2 of 23 says, a bastard or illegitimate child shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation. Shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord? An Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation. Shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever? And back in Exodus 19, 36, 37, and 38, who the Amorite and the Moabites are. They are the descendants of Lot by incest through his two daughters. And so incest, sexual sins, incest carries a 10-generation curse from the Lord upon the family line. Deuteronomy chapter 14 says, you are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. You shall not tattoo yourself or pierce your ears. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself of all the nations that are upon the earth, and thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and let's see what the Lord says here about things that he says are an abomination. You can study what they are yourself. We haven't got time today. Verse 25 of Deuteronomy chapter 7 says, the graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it's an abomination to the Lord your God. So things that are dedicated or things that are made for Satan worship or for images or that type of thing, even if they have value, you are to destroy them. And some of you probably heard James Robinson tell about the time that he was given all the artifacts by Brother Colin Davis. On the way over there, he just, somebody else was driving, he just happened to open his Bible, and he read this. And he read it to the driver, and he said, "Whoa," he said, "we can't accept the things that we're going to see." So they got over there, and they told Brother Davis that he couldn't accept them. And then he showed him in the scriptures here what it said. Because all the items that he had were from the East, from the Orient, and they were pagodas and items that were made temples and this type of thing that were made of jade and this that were 1,500, 2,000, 3,000 years old, so they had a value. But he said, "I can't accept them." But they were worth about $1.5 million. And at the time, he needed that desperately. Satan was sure tempting him. He said, I just can't accept it. Because verse 26 says, "Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it." So things that God says are abomination, we are not permitted to bring them in our house. It says, "Neither shalt thou bring an abomination in thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." And so Colin said, "Well, what are we going to do?" And he said, "Well, that's up to you." He said, "Well, if God says you can't have it, I can't have it either. And the Bible here says to destroy it." So they busted it all up, broke it up, and Colin took it out and threw it in the lake. And somebody here last summer, a year ago, happened to be scuba diving and found some of it. And so they put on a deal trying to salvage it all out of the lake where Colin had thrown it away. But he had busted it up, so it wouldn't have any value. If they were trying to do that, they had alleviated themselves from any curse from it in doing that. But it says we're not to bring it into our house because we could become a cursed thing like it. Now, those of you who have or have listened to the Arkansas story, I believe on the back at the end of the Arkansas story tells how we came into the understanding, how Irma came into the understanding about bringing cursed things in the house. And the young lady that did live here in town, she lives in Denver now. Her mother was here present. She's a board member of this campground. Her mother was here this morning. She was dying of cancer. And Irma really didn't know her. Only saw her one, had seen her one time. But the Lord, Irma went to, going to town and went by her house. And the Lord impressed Irma, the fire of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord impressed Irma she should go into this girl's house. Well, she thought, "I don't know her." And she went on her way, make a real long story real short. She came back to the grocery store and got out of the car, started the grocery store, and the fire of God come down and just compelled her to go to this girl's house. She went, got back in the car and went to the girl's house. And this girl's house was full of owls and frogs and paintings and statues, and she was dying of cancer. The doctors that day had notified the family that there was nothing more they could do for her, that she was doomed to die of cancer. And here Irma walked in, and here's Sister Barron, who was here this morning, was there, and her husband was there, the girl's father, and they were crying and weeping, and here Irma walks into this. And the Lord sovereignly worked and showed Irma by revelation that girl's sickness was due to the abominable things that she had in her house. In about 2 weeks' time, they were convinced to remove them. They removed them, they brought them out here, and we built a big bonfire out here and burned it. What couldn't burn, I buried with the bulldozer, and then we've covered that all over now with the top of this hill out here. We burned all this stuff in this old pond out here before we filled the pond. And that girl's well today, as that was 8 years ago or 9 years ago, and she has not one sign of cancer in her body. But she was dead. But when that dose was removed and renounced, God raised her up. So it says here, don't bring it in your house. You become a cursed thing like it. We never heard of such a thing before. If you'd have said that to us, we'd have probably thought you were crazy. Maybe some of you probably sitting there thinking that about what I've already read. But we found out by experience that what God said is true. So I stand here not to tell you something I don't know something about. I'm telling you that I know by experience that this is truth. And if you bring the cursed thing in your house, you're bringing abomination in your house, and you're bringing something in there that I don't know how it'll turn up. I didn't say it'd be cancer. Might be something else. I have no idea. But in this case, it was cancer. And when the cause was removed, the cancer was cleansed. And the woman and the girl is completely well today. Okay. So search out and see what the abominable things are that God says you shall not bring into your house or partake of. Okay. Where am I at here? Deuteronomy 7. Okay. Now, let's look over in Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3. Now, that's how we found out about bringing an abominable thing into your house. Over here in Leviticus chapter 3 is how we found out about the curses. In Leviticus chapter 3, we were doing a Bible study one night on traditions, kind of, here on Thursday night, one Thursday night, on traditions. And one of the traditions is I plead the blood. There's no scriptural basis for that statement. I plead the blood. But I've heard it ever since I can remember. I've heard it. And I still hear it all the time. I hear it on the Christian radio station, and I hear it from some of you, and from ministers, even some who stand here and minister. I've heard the statement, I plead the blood. But you have no scriptural basis for that statement, and Satan does not have to honor it. Now, in our family, back through the years, he has honored my mother's statement of that. I stand to testify that Jesus honored it. But he didn't have to, and Satan doesn't have to obey it because it's not scriptural. Anyway, we were studying that. Satan has to obey the sprinkling of the blood, the washing of the blood, the applying of the blood, the covering of the blood. There are five applications of the blood that are scriptural, and Satan has to obey. And we were studying that, and one of the verses I use is this 13th verse here, where Aaron was sprinkling the blood upon the altar round about. And then, without cause or reason, I just read the rest of the chapter. I read verse 13, and I read the rest of the chapter. And I never even heard what I read. I read it, but I didn't hear it. And the 17th verse says, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. Didn't mean a thing to me, really, that night. But one of the ladies who lives here on the campground, the Lord woke her up in the night and said, that's the reason you've got sugar diabetes. She said, what? She said, because your family has eaten blood. And so the Lord told her to get up and find all the scriptures she could about blood. Well, there's 20-some scriptures in the Bible, and Paul gives us several of them about the blood. And, of course, we found out that fat causes heart trouble, and God knew that way back here and said, don't eat it. We've been rebellious, and we've eaten fat, so we got heart trouble. Anyway, I'm not saying that eating of blood is the main only cause of sugar diabetes. It just in this case it was, and in some other cases it has been, where we have prayed for people. But so she studied, did a study on it, and come back Sunday morning, and I said, is there any prayer requests or anything? And she raised her hand and said, I'd like to say something. So I said, okay. So she stood up and repeated what I've just told you, that the Lord woke her up, told her that was the cause of sugar diabetes, that her grandmother had made blood pudding and blood sausage, her great-grandmother had done likewise. Now, she wasn't aware that her mother had, and she wasn't aware that she had ever eaten any. But her grandmother and her great-grandmother had. And the Lord had told, she said, and the Lord told me that that's the cause of sugar diabetes in our family. My grandmother died with it. My mother died with it. I have two sisters who are very bad condition with it. And the Lord told me that if you would pray for me and break the curse of my ancestors of eating blood, that it would break the curse of sugar diabetes. Well, that's the first I ever heard. That's where my study come from, where I started studying curses. That was the beginning of it. A revelation here in this place. And that morning there must have been 8 or 10 people who ended up standing up, who prayed for him and broke the curse, Galatians 3:13, which God later showed me, which we'll use today. We broke the curse and set them free from the ancestral curse of the sins of their fathers. He said, I thought I got rid of all that when I got saved. Well, so have most of us. Thought the same thing, but we haven't. Satan is a legalist, and he holds on to every little bit until the authority is taken away from him by the blood in the name of Jesus and by his hanging on the tree, which we have the authority to break the power of the curse. Okay, so that's where we come and where we begin to come to the understanding of the curses. Leviticus chapter 18, we will read here. Verses we're going to read 1 through 30. He says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, or the land of sin, wherein ye dwelt, the word Egypt means sin, wherein ye dwelt, shall you not do. And after the things of the land of Canaan, whether I bring you, shall you not do. But they did. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinance or their regulations or their laws. You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which, if a man do, he shall live in them. For I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now, near of kin is your relatives. And this is speaking of having sexual relations. Uncover their nakedness. That's sexual relations. And this applies to the family. And we're going to see this 2 or 3 times here. And I'm going to make a very special point of it when we get around. It says, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin. And the laws of some states do not allow marriage back to the first and second cousin. In some states, a family cannot marry the cousin. And it should be national, but it isn't, but it should be. Because it's incest. And it's abomination to God. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. Incest. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness, incest, 10-generation curse. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover. Now you notice that verse I just read, how God put that verse together, very simple and very plain. Yet he covered a multitude of things in that verse. He covered a mother who is dead, or a father who is dead, who has mother or father have remarried, and they had children before marriage that was brought together and put into the family through marriage, and it covers children who are born to them after they are married. It covers the whole gamut of any relationship that can be had in marriage, and calls them the sister or the brother, either way you want to look at it. That you shall not have any sexual relations with any part of the family, even though they're your stepsister or your stepbrother. Now, we had a very horrible case here after we first came here. We had a boy who lived here about 2 years. And before he came to live here, an Assembly of God preacher had married him to his half-sister. And there was nothing but hell. And they separated, and we had a horrible time with that boy for a while to try to get him straightened out. And the last we heard of him, he's doing wonderful out in Wyoming or Montana. He's doing real well. But we had an awful time for 2 years, even longer than that, actually, but he lived here about 2 years, trying to get his life straightened out because of the guilt and the complications that was on him because of that situation. Now, he was adopted into a family and did not know who his brothers and sisters and so forth were. And somehow he met this girl and fell in love with her. And then before he married her, he found out that she was his half-sister. But they went ahead and got married anyway. And it's was chaos. God says that's an abomination, that it shall not be so. It says, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your sister or your brother. And that applies to the home. When you young people get old enough to take care of yourself, then you should not be bathed in the same tub with your brothers and sisters. They should be separate. And you should have right understanding that God says that's to be so. Now, I was the eldest of the family. And it was my responsibility. I was the eldest of seven children. And it was my responsibility at many times to be mother and father to my brothers and sisters. Because depression days, they had to work, they had to leave, they had to go to town, we sold produce house to house. And when I was big enough to carry a little basket, four years old or five, I went along and went house to house and sold produce. And in the wintertime, they did the same and sold meat. And I had to take care of my brothers and sisters. And I was responsible for them. And I wasn't told this, but God put it within my being that I knew what was right. He just did it. But today, 5 and 6 year olds are coaxed by the other kids in the neighborhood around them to undress and do things that are abomination to God. And you young people need to know that is an abomination to God. You have nothing to do with a girl or a boy. That even if it's your brother or sister, you don't have anything to do with them. God says that you're to be pure and holy unto Him. He says you're to be a virgin. A virgin applies to a boy and a girl. And today, they make fun of anybody past 12 years of age who says they're a virgin in the school. Well, you've got to stand up to that and say, I'm going to keep clean, and I'm going to stay clean. Now, Brother Pittman told us about an example here when he was over in the state of Virginia. I'll not mention the town where they have been watching doing studies on the schools. Some of you heard what he said. And last year, three years ago, there was 200 girls between the ages of 12 and 14 who got pregnant in the school system. Next year, there was 400. This past year, there were 600 girls in that town that were pregnant between the ages of 12 and 14. What abomination to God, and what a scar on that child's life. Because they are told in the school, not the teachers, but the kids tell them, that if a boy spends money on you, then you owe it to that boy to have sex with him. And that's what's being told in the schools to all the kids, by the kids. And they're almost forcing some of the girls to do it. And you've got to stand against it. God says that you're to be a virgin. You're to be clean. You're to be pure unto Him. You're to be a pure for whoever God gives for you. You're to be pure, clean, without. And God says here that if you do it, you've got a 10-generation curse on your family. Not only that, you've got a child that's called a bastard, illegitimate. And that child, either that girl has to, and parents have to raise that child and take it. It's just like the parents had another child of their own. And the abomination and the guilt that not only the girl carries, but that child will carry all the days of its life. God says it's a curse. God says it's a curse. You young people want to understand that. You want to stay away from and be clean, that Satan has no right to your life. You get started messing with this thing, and Satan's got a right to you, and he drives you. And if he don't drive you, he'll find somebody else to do it for him. And you've got, this needs to be taught in every Sunday school class. From the time they're 4 and 5 years old, it needs to be taught in every Sunday school class that God says you're cursed. God says you are. We need to fear God and fear His Word. We need to have a righteous fear of God, that we're clean and holy before Him, so that my children and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren and your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, they carry a curse, an abomination, and a guilt, that the only way they can get out from under it is if somebody helps them and prays with them and breaks the curse off of them. That guilt is there. And they don't know what's wrong with them. and they feel like they're nobody loves them, and they're rejected, and they're really not. It's the curse that Satan uses over them. Satan has a right to them. Satan has a right, and he won't let go of that legal right because he wants you to go to hell. And he don't really want you to go to hell. What he wants, what he really wants, he wants to make disgrace the Lord Jesus through you. That's what he wants. He wants to make you a disgrace to Jesus. That's Satan's what he's out to do. He's out to make us be a disgrace to the Lord Jesus. So we drag the name of the Lord through the mud, and then he can say, look. Well, look at that one. That's supposed to be a Christian. Well, you stand up and say, in Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus cleanses me, and I'm washed, and I'm free. Get out of here, Satan. You and your demon powers, I will not have anything. But you got to fight them. And you got to resist the pressure that the kids at school are putting on you. The kids at school, Satan's using them. He's using them to try and drive you and us. But he uses it. You're in school. Out here, the rest of us, it's something different. But he's still there. And he's still determined to cause every one of us, if he can, to disgrace the Lord Jesus. That's his purpose, to disgrace Jesus. Well, Jesus made a way for us to come out from under all this. And it goes on down and it says, thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, thy brother's nakedness and thy wife's brother, and thy daughter and thy daughter-in-law, and thy father's brother, and thy near kinswoman, and it goes on down and says, all these things thou shalt not do. And it says, you shall not defile yourself with your neighbor, and it says, you shall not let your seed pass through the fire to Moloch, and today that's abortion. Abortion is the fire of Moloch. It's in the land today. Abortion. Back there then, they took the babies and threw them in the fire and literally burned them. Well, they're doing as bad with the salt and everything that they use today. It's just as horrible, tearing the babies up as they take them out. Thou shalt not lie with mankind, as with womankind is an abomination. Homosexuality and lesbianism, you're cursed for 10 generations. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast, bestiality. You're cursed for 10 generations, bestiality. Says, you shall not. You shall not. You shall not. Over in where do I want to go from there? Leviticus 18, I want 20. Leviticus 20. Start with verse 7. Here's what the Lord says we're to do. It says, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. Why? For I am the Lord your God. It says to be holy, because we belong to the Lord. And now, he says, everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, and his blood shall be upon them. Aren't we all glad that we've got grace? Or I think the most of us would already be stoned to death. Right there. We've got it right there. Don't curse your father or your mother. But we got grace today, so we're not stoned to death. But here, they were put to death. Every man that commits adultery with another man's wife, adultery with his neighbor, they shall surely be put to death. The man that lieth with his father's wife, incest in the family, and both of them shall be put to death. The man lie with his daughter-in-law, and so forth. The man lie with mankind or womankind, homosexuality or lesbian, they shall be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If any man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto a beast, lie there too. Thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Verse 18 says, if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, that's the ministerial period. If you have relations, sexual relations with a woman during the time of her ministerial period, says that you shall not uncover her nakedness. He has discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Now, let's talk about being cut off. You don't have to die or be stoned to death to be cut off. You get cancer of the prostate, cancer of the female organs, cyst in your ovaries. Man has a problem with in his sexual organs. getting cut off. God says, and there's not, I doubt that there's a one of us in this room that have obeyed that from the time that it, I never even saw it until here, just since we've lived here at this campground. Just, I don't know how many, 6, 7 years ago. There it is, plain as day. I guess I've read it 15, 20, 50 times maybe. Never got through my thick skull. How many times have we read some of the things that I'm reading here, and you never even saw it? You just read over. I don't change the word of the Lord any. I don't change it one bit because you read over it or I read over it. So we need to repent and ask the Lord to cleanse us and forgive us of that. Then it goes on to say, aunts and uncles, and in verse 22 it says, you shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. Why? That the land whether I bring you dwell, that you dwell therein, spew you not out. So we are to keep the commandments of the Lord so that there's peace in the land. That we have peace in the land wherever the Lord sends us to or we go to. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Really, this is a study that really like Jack and like Tommy and everybody. It's not a one-day thing, because I'm really just barely touching. 27, starting with verse 9. And Moses the priest and the Levite spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And today, we're being commanded by them. Verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and put it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. 3 and 4 generation curse. Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, amen. A 3rd and 4th generation curse. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Now, that's not easily done today, but in those days they used to pick up the stones that marked the corner and move it over 5 feet or something and get a little extra land. Today that isn't done too much anymore because America has the Meets and Bounds Act, which laid this land out, which fulfilled Isaiah 17 in doing that. And there still is a squabble once in a while about a landmark, but not very often. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. We're to look after the blind. Cursed be he, that's a 3-generation curse. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless and widow. 3rd generation curse. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife because he uncovered his father's skirt. Incest. 3rd generation curse. Cursed be he that lieth with any man or beast. Bestiality, 10-generation curse. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, the daughter of his mother, 10-generation curse. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, the whole family, incest, 10 generations. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and cursed be he that slayeth an innocent person, murder. And cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, amen. Amen. Okay. Now we have noticed in these chapters 18 and 20 of Leviticus and 27 of Deuteronomy, we have there are 3 things that I want to call your attention to. First, in Deuteronomy 18, it said, you shall not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. In Leviticus 18. Leviticus 20, it said that you shall be put to death. In Deuteronomy 27, it says, all these things you do them, you're cursed. God says you're cursed if you do them. So, we find that first he says you shall not do it. Then he come back and reiterated it and said you'll be put to death if you do it. Then he come back and said you not only shall not do it, you'll be put to death, but you're also cursed. And that curse then would follow the family line for whatever time God has said it is, 3 and 4 generations or 10 generations. If you do that, then you've got a curse on your family line. Besides, you're going to get put to death. But you have put a curse to come down through your family line. Now, the first time that we really saw the form of incest in the body of Christ was over in Tulsa, when we went over there, when Skip Mondragon, who used to live here, was studying to be a doctor at ORU, and he graduated and is now a doctor. We were invited over to speak to a group of the kids from ORU, and at the meeting, why, there was also three instructors came, and we had about 35, I believe, that were there, all young people, 17, 23, 4, 5 years of age, and three of the ORU instructors. And I taught on this subject. The first time I ever taught on it in my life was to those kids. And when I finished teaching on it and began to call out the incest and so forth and break it off of them, we had a zoo. And sitting by the back door was one of the instructors. And there was no change on the face. Just sat there like, you don't believe a word you're saying, just like a stone. And that person was the first person when I started to call out for deliverance. That person fell off of the chair and began to writhe across the floor like a snake. And from there on, the Lord brought great deliverance. So when those things happen, it makes a believer out of the unbeliever. Whether you want to believe or not, you become a believer. Then in that group was a young lady who later we found out was from up in northern Michigan, a Dutch descent, beautiful blonde girl. I think she was 19 years old. And we got down with praying, and some of the girls were praying with her. And she kept repeating the words, "I can't, I can't, I can't." Finally, Irma got to her eventually and convinced her that she had to confess whatever she can't. So she confided to them that she couldn't go home for Thanksgiving because her mother had molested her and her sister and her two brothers ever since she could remember. And her mother was saved and had the Holy Spirit. You say, that can't be. I think it can be. She had a demon spirit of incest that was inbred in the family line and was being passed on to her children. But that girl was delivered and set free and rejoiced in praising the Lord. And we assured her that she could go home, but she had to stand and take her place of stand because her mother, that was not her mother doing that, even though it was coming to her mother, it was Satan doing that. And so that was our first encounter with incest. In that respect, was in that meeting. And since that time, I've taught on this many times, and I have seen the Lord set the captives free. We had Irma and the girls had a woman here who was way up in her, I believe almost in her 80s somewhere. And she was under great guilt and condemnation and had lived that way all the days of her life because of being molested as a child. And God marvelously set her free from that guilt and shame that she was carrying. Well, let's look on here a little more. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Again, let's pick up verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Now, I'm not going to read them all. I'm going to just... "Said, cursed be thou in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of the land, the increase of thy kine and thy flocks and thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilent cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall perish, pursue thee until thou perish. And that, in my opinion, is why we have some things that we cannot seem to be free from, because they're curses that God has allowed or has put on us because we have disobeyed His word. Jeremiah chapter 48. We're going to look at some three or four more curses here, and then we will do something about them. Jeremiah 48, verse 10. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth his sword from blood, the coward. Doing the work of the Lord deceitfully. The Lord is beginning to cleanse His temple. And it's going to come more and more and more. And I fear the judgments of God as they are beginning to come in the land. I believe that the day will come when there will be literally, they will fall dead in the presence of God again, as they did before. And I believe that the prophets and apostles of God will stand up in a congregation and say, "Thus saith the Lord, and if you don't repent and come to the Lord, that I believe that you may be struck dead right in the congregation." God's gotten tired of people playing church. We're coming down to the time of the judgments of God in the land. And they're starting, and they'll be first in the household of faith. So let's not play church. Let's be sincere. Let our hearts be yearn after God, yearn after His Word, yearn to walk in His Word, so that His judgments will not fall upon you and me. But if we don't, they will. Malachi chapter 1, verse 14. Cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. What have they done? They've made a vow to the Lord, to give the Lord something, and then they've reneged on the vow and shorted God. Here it's an animal, and they've offered God an animal, and when it come time to give God the animal, it was better than another one, so instead of giving the one God they vowed to God, they gave him the one that wasn't as good. But we can do that in lots of ways. God says, "I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." So we don't want to come under the dreadfulness of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Even after the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even the whole nation has." And that's true. We really have. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." That's for all of us. "If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings." Chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed," because of God's mercy. Because of His mercy, we're not. But the Lord does not change. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 23 says, "And He brought us out from thence, that He might bring us in." He's bringing us out. He's giving us revelation of His Word. He's giving us understanding, that He might bring us in. Bring us in, that we may be pillars of the house of the Lord. That we may enter into the kingdom to be part of whatever He's going to do in the kingdom. He's going to bring us in. "To give us the land which He sware unto our fathers." And what He swore to each one of us is that our land will be cleansed. Your land, my land. "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as He has commanded us." It will be unto our righteousness if we observe to keep His word. Chapter 10, verse 12. And now, O Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also and all that is therein. Only the Lord hath a delight in thy fathers to love them and to choose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. And the Lord has chosen us to be his testimony and his witnesses, and we are to be a holy people unto him. John 3:16 says, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So, we need to confess our sins, and the Lord will forgive us. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not, should not, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And by his blood, there is washing and cleansing of sin. And in the name of Jesus, there is the authority to set the captive free. Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus became a curse so that these curses that I don't have, you don't have to bear these curses, so these curses can be broken. We have to apply and appropriate that to these areas of our lives. And so we have to do as Daniel did in chapter 9 and verse 20. We have to do what Daniel did, and that's what we're going to do. So then, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord, my God, and the holy mountain of my God, the sins of the nation, the sins of our fathers, and our own sins. Okay, we're going to pray. We're going to break the curses. Now, there's lots more curses than what I talked about. There's the curse of death. We'll break that. And if the Lord gives something to you before we're through here, why, put your hand up and say so, and we'll work on it. First of all, we're going to ask the Lord to cleanse us. I'll pray, and you pray with me, and we will cover ourselves and our sin and our ancestors as we do this. Dear Lord Jesus, I come in the name that is above every name. Your name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, you said in your word, it is written that whatsoever we ask in the name of your Son, you would hear and answer us. Father, we're a sinful people. This afternoon we come to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. And also, Father, I lift up the sins of my forefathers. Father, I know that I can do nothing in their behalf. But I ask for your mercy and your grace. For it is written in Galatians 3:13, that Jesus became a curse so that I don't have to bear the curse. So this afternoon, I apply and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to the sins of my forefathers. And I break the curses that have visited upon me because of their sins, which has given Satan a right to my family line, and I take authority over every familiar spirit and demon spirit that torments me, that has come down and followed my ancestral line. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to pray for me and for all of us. and then we'll work from it. Father, I stand here as a priest this afternoon in behalf of these people. And I take authority this afternoon over every demon spirit and every familiar spirit. And I bind them to the day of judgment and ask for the angels of the Lord to come and keep them and take them until you judge them at the day of judgment. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father, I take authority over the curses that have visited down through the family lines. And according to Galatians 3:13, I take authority in the name of Jesus. And I break the dominion of it off of these people. I break the dominion of it. You spirit of eating blood, I break that curse over the family line. I break your dominion. You foul spirit of homosexuality, I bind you and I break your power. Incest, I break the spirit of incest. Homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, I break the curses of it off the family line. I break the curses of it. I loose these people from them in Jesus' name. I bind your power. I break your dominion. I take authority over you. I have authority over you. Jesus has given me that authority to use his name. And I apply and I appropriate that place of authority in the name of the Lord Jesus this afternoon. And I break your power and take your rights away. And I loose these people from it in Jesus' name. Father, I break the curse of incest. I break the curse of incest, of the bestiality. I break it in Jesus' name. Homosexuality, I break it. Lesbianism, I break it in Jesus' name. I loose it. The curse of the bastard, I break it in Jesus' name. I break the curse of the bastard over these people, over myself. I break the dominion of it. I loose it from it in Jesus' name. I go back for 30 generations in the family lines, and I break the powers. I take the powers of witchcraft and sorcery. I bind the powers of witchcraft. I break it. I go back for 30 generations in the family line. I break your dominion. I take your rights away. I bind you. Come out of them. Come out. Come out. You familiar spirits, I bind you. I break your dominion. Come out in Jesus' name. I break your dominion. Lucius, come out. Come out. I break your power. I break your dominion. Come out of us in Jesus' name. I break your dominion. Come out. Come out. Come out. Set the captives free today. I loose the chains. I loose the chains that's bound them. I break them asunder. I set them free. The blood of Jesus cleanses. I apply and appropriate the blood to cleanse and to wash. I take your rights away, Satan. I take your rights away. Your demon spirits have no more authority. I loose us from them. I loose us. I loose these people. I loose us from the oldest to the eldest. I loose us this afternoon. I break your authority. I take your rights away. I break your dominion. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Father, I break the curse for not giving you the glory. I break the curse of our ancestors for not giving you the glory for what you've done for them, what you've done for us. I break the curse of not giving the glory to God for his protection and care over us, for supplying our needs. I break the curse of it. I break the curse in Jesus' name. I loose us from it. I break the curse. Father, I take authority over the curse that we've gotten under because we didn't pay our tithes and give offerings unto thee, that we have it and our forefathers have it. I take authority over that curse that has stole from us. Satan has given Satan a right to steal our finances because we weren't faithful. I break that curse over these people in Jesus' name and over myself. I break the dominion of it. I break the power of it. I set the people free from the bondage of the curse of not paying their tithes and giving offerings. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. I take authority over it. I bind it. I break it back for 20 generations over these people and over myself in Jesus' name. I break the dominion of it. Spirit of poverty. I bind you, spirit of poverty that follows with it. I bind you, spirit of poverty. I break your power. I set the people loose from the curse, and now I bind the spirit of poverty, and I break the power of poverty over us in Jesus' name. I loose us from the spirit of poverty. I break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. I bind you to dead judgment. I break your dominion. Come out of us. Set us free. Loose us. Loose us in Jesus' name. Loose us. Set the people free. I break your dominion in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break the dominion. I break the power. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. He quoted out of my. I bind you. I do warfare against you, Satan. I break your power this afternoon. I loose the presence of the Lord here. I bind you. I pull down your principalities and powers. I break the dominion of Satan. I pull down your principalities and powers over these people. I set them free. I break a power. He quoted out of my. He quoted out of my. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out of her. Come out. I bind you. I break your dominion. Come out of her in Jesus' name. I said, come out, you witch. Come out, you witch. Come out.
Come on, take a deep breath. Get it out of there. Get it out.
Come on in.
Praise your Lord. Praise your Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.